Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In the second chapter, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me, that they went far from me, and went after worthless things, and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that did not profit. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing as a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods. But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading today has a slightly more positive tone. So let us hear from the letter of Hebrews about the kind of service that is well-pleasing to God. "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifice is pleasing to God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 6 years ago now, on July 2nd, my brother Tom and I spent the final day of my mother's life by her side. And I know that I handled it better with my brother there with me than if I had been alone. And he told me the same thing. I might have chosen, particularly on Independence Day weekend, to have tried to be the strong, independent person. But right then, I was better off being a mutually weak, interdependent person with my brother. Following the anniversary, of the Declaration of Independence last weekend, I think now we in our country may be well served by remembering there is also place for a declaration of interdependence. Those who wrote the original declaration drew a lot of their ideas and political thinking from overseas, people like John Locke, Edmund Burke, Rousseau, even Aristotle and Plato. So like them, today I want to borrow an idea from overseas to help put into words and thought what it means to be interdependent. But first, a background story. An anthropologist decided to conduct an experiment in an African village. He put a basket loaded with fruit over by a tree, and then, speaking to a group of children, told them that the first one to the basket could have it all. And he counted to three and said, go, and then watched as the children joined their hands and ran together to the basket. When asked why they ran that way instead of the fastest getting there alone, they said, Ubuntu, how can any of us be happy if others are sad? Now, Ubuntu is a philosophy of South African peoples that was borrowed and summed up by South African Anglican Bishop Desmond Tutu, who said, Ubuntu speaks of the very essence of being human. Then you are generous, you are hospitable, you are friendly and caring and compassionate. You share what you have, you belong in a bundle of life. Bishop Tutu went on to expand on this concept of Ubuntu and combine it with his Anglican learning and his work as part of the Reconciliation Committee of South Africa following the end of apartheid, a committee that accomplished the transition with remarkably little violence happening in the country. That same concept of Ubuntu was chosen by the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America as a theme of a summer youth conference. Songwriter Ken Miedema wrote a song to accompany the theme. And there is Ken's picture. He was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I first heard this song as part of a 2002 Vacation Church School curriculum. And it stuck with me because I felt the music captured the joy and the power of a life together in Christ. And the words captured the purpose of our Christian life together better than many drier summaries that I have read. You'll hear parts of the song interspersed throughout the service. The words are included in the bulletin so you can follow along. And thanks to Barbara, we have a video of him performing the song completely, and I will post that on the church Facebook page. Now let's reflect. In that movement of faith from me to we, from the individual to participation in a community, from independence to mutual interdependence, to a life that demonstrates Ubuntu.
Dreams. Ubuntu, where justice
Our country's vision has always been to share a dream about a democracy in which a vision and a constitution in which the voice of all is heard, guidance of the majority is heeded, the minority is protected, and the well-being of all is looked to, where justice flows, where hearts and minds join to make a land of peace. Unfortunately, whether we're talking about ancient Israel or any other country in any other time and place, there is part of human nature that doesn't always like interdependence with each other and with God. There is part of our human nature that likes to claim credit for ourselves. There is a part of human nature that crosses the line at times from feeling good about oneself to feeling judgmental about others. And that's not a new thing. The prophet Jeremiah shared God's divine anger and grief. God almost sounds like an upset human parent. God, in expressing disbelief that this nation has turned to other gods of their own making or the gods of other people, and they have come to believe that they can go it alone without the help of the one who brought them to the promised land. As a parent, the behavior of Israel reminds me of a toddler who says, "I don't like you," to a parent, even though her or his survival, life, and nurture is still dependent on the very ones to whom the toddler says that. God always wanted Israel. God wants God's people to grow up and become agents in our own economical and political well-being in partnership with God's teachings. And God also knows that healthy growth into Christian maturity depends upon recognizing the source of our survival, the source of the gifts that enable us to be creative, and the source of a vision of living as part of a body in Christ, illuminated by Christ's love. Sisters and brothers, God made us for communion in a life of interdependence.
Sisters and brothers, made for communion, bound to each other, one holy union, drawn by our vision.
Still face that same interplay of sin and grace that Jeremiah spoke about, and it inflicts not just individuals, but it can inflict the social systems in which people live and has done so throughout time. In this particular time in America, I think it really is time for us to do life. I have to think that when the church models acceptance and appreciation of interdependent diversity, then it is presenting a redemptive model of life in the image of God. I have to think that hating whole groups of people based on race or political leaning or immigration status or religion or anything else is an expression of original sin. It recurs from the time of Jeremiah, actually from Cain and Abel onward. Humanity has seen, I think, the greatest inhumanity expressed throughout history in the seemingly never-ending affliction, never-ending sin of hating those who don't act, believe, or look like we think they should. It's as if we think we not only have to get to the basket first, but we've got to keep other people from getting there. In contrast, at every worship service, we Christians remember we are connected. We remember we are created in the image of God, who in some mysterious way is also a community, the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We remember we are parts of a body of which Christ is the head. We remember that we are running for a basket together. When we see people carrying a basket, or when we are carrying a basket holding blessings, we can run to share them. When we see someone carrying a basket of struggles, we can run to help carry that basket with them. Sometimes we carry griefs and burdens no one can bear alone. Sometimes we carry blessings out to those around us, because we are made for communion and for community.
Called out to follow Jesus, our brother, who gathers his children just like a mother, tenderly holding this new creation, and molding a new holy nation, marked by the water and given our name, moved by God's Spirit, refined by holy flame. Ubuntu, Ubuntu, sharing our visions and dreams. Stranger and cherish the friend, and to work for the peace of the land, and so we do life.
Our gospel, our New Testament reading from Hebrews today goes on to describe a lifestyle of spiritual independence and awareness of others as we live together. The reading suggests that we live a way of life that treats every encounter as a potential divine encounter, for the author says we might be entertaining angels in disguise, which is a reference back to the time the three messengers of God came to Abraham and Sarah, and he welcomed them. Wouldn't it be great if everyone on a daily basis could start the day saying, I'm going to try and treat everyone as an angel in the making? How would our life change if we saw every encounter charged with Christ's redemptive hand? My brother and I spent some time remembering Mom over dinner the night after she died, and we both recalled her way of taking in folks to care for. In the time before Mom had children, she took in Joni, a would-be lady wrestler, because Dad was in his first church. He was eager to be cooperative with people in the area. So when a judge and caseworker asked him, he said yes right away, and only then explained it to my mother. But that time in our house, from what I hear, gave Joni time to get her act together and stay out of jail. There was also Karen, who was a student at a Presbyterian college close to where we lived. Her family lived at quite a distance away, so over 4 years' time, she would spend weekends or some of those short little breaks between semesters at our house. She babysat three boys. In return, was a regular part of our family. Then there was Mark, whom my father brought home after a judge called Dad. At first, it was only to be for a weekend, so Mark didn't have to spend the weekend in jail. His father refused to come bail him out for borrowing the family car without permission. It turned into the end of his junior year and then his entire senior year of high school. He straightened up, was a great big brother to me. My mother finally let him give me a ride on his motorcycle. He graduated and went into the Army, and post-discharge, he used his technical training to get work, got married. My father performed the service and then had a child. My mom had a way of bringing angels to the surface. We are called to be interdependent, my friends. We are called to see that there are angels in others, and to be honest, we sometimes are called to see that there is the devil in ourselves. And our best way to deal with this is a life of shared forgiveness among people, repentance by ourselves, and with eyes that look to the good in how we live together. A female prison chaplain recently commented on the power of forgiveness. She had used Desmond Tutu's 30-day forgiveness challenge curriculum, along with a pastor. And the chaplain noted, Tutu brings up the South African concept of Ubuntu early in the 30-day forgiveness challenge. And it is vividly clear to me that when we demonize and stigmatize people like the women I've worked with in prison, it harms us all, and it contributes to the illness of hatred that runs rampant when we focus on our divisions rather than on our shared humanity. We are called to provide a healthy environment grounded in relational values. We are called to encourage everyone to embrace his or her identity as God's beloved child. While good choices are not necessarily guaranteed by support of one another, I can guarantee you that a community that runs together for the basket can create a tipping point in which people are more likely to be generous than self-interested and likely to be more creative than passive. So let this be our vision. Life is in the sharing, in a life of interdependence, the life of Ubuntu, our life as parts of the living body of Christ in our world today.
This is our vision. Life's in the sharing, holding back nothing, dreaming and daring to live this communion that breaks us and binds us, holds us and heals us, frees us and finds us. Give us courage to do what we say. Christ, give us strength for the living of these days. Ubuntu, Ubuntu, sharing. dreams and dreams. Ubuntu, where justice goes like a life-giving stream. The people together, joining our hearts and our hands, to welcome the stranger and cherish the friend and to work for the peace of the land. In life-giving streams, the people together, joining our hearts and our hands, to welcome the stranger and cherish the friend, and to work for the peace of the land. And so we do life.